This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back into Sports Talk here on Wednesday, March 26th. We got opening day in regular baseball, Major League Baseball tomorrow, not college baseball. I got LSU Tigers on the brain. But man, oh man, looking forward to all the action kicking up. And man, you got so many things going on with the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament, opening day in Major League Baseball, LSU Baseball having a weekend series starting on a Thursday. I don't think the Lady Tigers are back in action until Friday at least.
Yeah, Friday against NC State in the Sweet 16.
But yeah, plenty going on a Thursday. It feels like a weekend.
Yeah, with the weekend series now starting for LSU baseball on Thursday, I think it's going to be this way for a couple weeks now. We were talking with Mark Etheridge about this, Steve, from D1 Baseball in the 5 o'clock hour. Mississippi State, the pitching matchups are out, and they're not throwing their ace on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I was curious about how that would go. They're instead keeping him on Friday, so he's going to be pitching game two. His name is Pico Cohn. He's got a 4-0 record, a 2.52 ERA, 53 strikeouts, and 32 and two-thirds innings pitched. Is very, very impressive. And he was the reigning SEC Pitcher of the Week. Against Oklahoma, Mississippi State lost 2 of 3, but Pico Cohn was awesome in that game one. That was the only game that Mississippi State's won in SEC play so far, was that first game against OU, who's a top 10 team in the country right now. He threw 6 shutout innings, allowed 2 hits, and struck out 10. He's this big, tall lefty. And now he's going to be going on game two against Anthony Ianson, which does a couple things for you. A, it makes that game one extraordinarily important for Cade Anderson to go out and have a really strong performance and for LSU to pick up that game one, because you're going up against their ace game two.
Right.
And I mean, you can't really have any room for leeway if you lose that game one. If you lose game two, you lose the series at home, and that's not a good look. So game one becomes extremely important. And then that game two, you're going with Anthony Ianson against Pico Cohn, once again, Mississippi State's ace. That was the guy that Jay highlighted in press conference audio as one of the best pitchers in the entire SEC. He's not going to be pitching the opener like he's done basically all of SEC season so far. He's instead going to be pitching game two, which is Friday this weekend.
I guess you look at Mississippi State trying to give them a better chance in that second matchup with the ace.
Mark is calling it gamesmanship. Like, you know, you throw your kind of bullpen arm, I guess, in game one and see what you can do, if you can get something out of it. Because Evan Sieri, who's throwing game one, the junior right-handed pitcher, only has 11 and two-thirds innings pitched on the season so far.
Wow, okay.
Where most starters are around 30, you know, give or take. Granted, like someone like Chase Shores, who's been a starter all season, is like 27. But still, that's almost half of basically what he's thrown. So, Cade Anderson, you're hoping that he has a similar performance to what you saw from him in Austin against Texas. You get off to a good start. You're off to a 1-0 start against Mississippi State. And then see what you can do against Pico Rincon and Mississippi State in game two. If you can steal that game, that's where it becomes really interesting. I say steal, but you're at home. You should, you know, be at least competitive. If you can win the Friday night game, and this is if you win Thursday night as well, which you're hoping you can do with your ace on the mound, all of a sudden you're feeling great about this upcoming weekend series against Mississippi State. But take it step by step.
We're going to have to see what happens as well with weather. I know that could play an issue this weekend, at least for Friday and Saturday. I know LSU will be on top of it and updating us with any more weather info. But talking about pitching, things did not go well for the Raging Cajuns yesterday, Charlie. Andrew Herman didn't last very long on the mound.
Yeah, Andrew Herman. And he's been a good pitcher for UL. It just did not go well. And for the Cajuns, it was, you know, too many free bases. You can't allow it.
It seemed like LSU was hitting hard off of whoever was on the mound yesterday.
It was what we've seen from LSU's offense so far this season, though. They work these walks. They get the hit by pitches. There was a ton of them last night. And, of course, the LSU bats took advantage.
Yeah, we had the big grand slam right when I got home, pulling into my driveway and heard it on the radio from Bear Jones, lifting one into the outfield. And, you know, you knew then the Tigers kind of had this feeling about them after the back-to-back disappointments in Austin over the weekend.
It's like I said before we got off there last night, Steve, they were going to be playing pissed off, and man, they looked angry. So, of course, my Cajuns bore the brunt of it, unfortunately, and they're having a rough year, but it's okay. It's we'll see what they can do in Sunbelt play. As far as the Tigers, though, it's what you wanted to see is for a bounce-back performance from that weekend series loss, especially at the plate, once again. Like, you know, you had a poor performance on Sunday offensively. We can talk all about the bullpen on Saturday, but Sunday, it was the offense that kind of went to sleep, where you have 11 strikeouts to 2 walks. And we haven't seen that all season long from this LSU team. It's quite literally been the opposite, where they will be working all of these walks. They don't strike out very often. And Jay credited the Texas pitching staff for how they pitched against LSU in that Sunday matchup. He kind of challenged his offense to have a bounce back performance, and they answer in kind by putting up a 9th spot in the first inning against UL. That's exactly what you wanted to see. Now, with this upcoming matchup against Mississippi State, Jay's talked about how they have a bunch of big arms. You know, when we were talking with Etheridge, as I mentioned earlier, he said that their defense is a little suspect, Steve. And I've seen Mississippi State play a couple times this year, as I mentioned yesterday, like when they were playing at Daikin Park. I always want to say Minute Maid, but they've changed it now. Yeah. And the Astros Park, they played like a early season tournament out there. I think they lost a game to Arizona that I had watched, and then they lost a game to Oklahoma State as well. The Oklahoma State game was the one that I watched the most of, and that was like their finale in Daikin Park. They have some interesting bats, and the numbers kind of back that up. So far, Steve, despite their 1-5 record in SEC play, they're number 5 in the SEC in team batting average with .314. Is what they're hitting. They have 55 doubles, 4 triples, 38 home runs, and then 32 steals and 36 attempts. So that's pretty good too. But this is what Jay's kind of highlighted too. They're number 4 in the league in pitching staff ERA with 3.39. Like the 1-5 record's a little bit deceiving, isn't it? They played Texas and they got swept by Texas in their first weekend series of SEC play. And so you get off to an 0-3 start right off the bat. Against, obviously, a good Texas team. We just saw what they did to LSU. And then the next weekend, they play OU, Oklahoma, who's also a top 10 ranked opponent, and they lose 2-3. The only game they won was, once again, because of Pico Cone throwing a fantastic performance in that first start. So, yes, Mississippi State is 1-5 in SEC play, but this isn't really a team that you can just kind of overlook. You know what I mean?
No, so nobody in the SEC for sure.
I know. And here I am saying like, oh, well, Kate Anderson's going to have a great performance in the first game. And then if they can beat the ace, they're looking great. Mississippi State's going to be a challenge this weekend in the box.
Plus a storied rivalry with these two teams.
Yeah, of course. I mean, how many times have they played, Steve? Like, it's a ridiculous number.
Well, I know Bill Franquez sent out all that great information. So
here it is from Franquez.
Right.
Mississippi State leads the overall series with LSU. You ready for this?
Hit me.
212-196-1. And they've played like 400 times, which is unbelievable in their history. So LSU has won 13 of the past 17 regular season series with the Bulldogs, though. So that's pretty good. See if we can make it 14 of the last 18.
You mentioned with the Houston Astros park now being Daikin Park, so RIP Minute Maid Park, no more the juice box.
I know. And I think there's kind of some controversy. I don't know if the train is still up there.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, like the famous train that, yeah. And, you know, Minute Maid Park. I don't know if they've taken it out or what the deal is with it, but I remember when I was growing up going to Astros games in the early 2000s, right? Like, that was my first baseball love, was the Killer Bees. Like, Berkman, Biggio,
I know what you meant.
You know, Bagwell, Roy Oswalt, the ace of that staff. So I grew up loving the Astros, and I loved the train in the corner out in left field. I don't know if it's gone or not. If they're putting it back with this new Daikin Park.
Right.
I would be pretty sad about that.
When I was a kiddo, used to love seeing any highlights from Milwaukee Brewers games just to see the guy go down the slide into the big cup of beer.
Yeah, yeah. They still have that slide, don't they?
Yeah, and it's kind of just into a pool now. It doesn't look like a cup of beer, I don't think.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I remember that because the Brewers have made the postseason a few times. It's basically the only time I watch Milwaukee baseball. I was just so locked into the Astros every season. 162 games is a lot to follow, Steve.
We are going to take a break and get locked into opening day Odyssey. MLB insider Bob Nightingale will be joining us, previewing the start of Major League Baseball. Hallelujah, folks. We'll be right back with more sports talk right after this.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and happy to welcome in now Bob Nightingale, joined by Odyssey's MLB Insider Calls, presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Bob, thank you so much for the time. How's it going?
Yeah, doing great. Thank you.
Definitely looking forward to things getting into action tomorrow. The Dodgers, we know, returning champions from a year ago, and it looks like that, you know, not much has changed with this team, with the fact that they are still a stocked unit up and down, lineup, rotation, all that stuff. And could the Dodgers be on a historic run maybe this season? We'll have to see, but it looks like they're definitely poised at least to try and defend that crown with all the talent they still have on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the team to beat, you know, about a $400 million payroll. You know, they had a rough go last year. I mean, trying to get through the playoff stretch with only three starting pitchers, but managed to do it. Now they got about nine starting pitchers. So, yeah, they're the team to beat. Everybody's gunning for them, and they're showing the clear-cut favorite.
I'm an Astros fan, Bob, so I want to ask you about the Astros right off cuff. And, you know, the AL West has been their division for basically the past decade. But at the same time, I think, you know, it's a new-look roster. We know that they moved on from Alex Bregman in the offseason. They traded Kyle Tucker. They moved on from Justin Verlander, who's been a mainstay in the rotation. And now you're looking at, like, the Rangers and the Mariners that are kind of contending for that AL West title as well. You know, your thoughts on the Astros trying to defend that AL West and if the Rangers or the Mariners could potentially catch them this season?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. They have dominated the division where they have seven straight ALCSs until last year. And it's tough. I like the Texas Rangers to bounce back and win the division, but it's going to be a close race. A lot of people are picking Seattle. But, you know, Seattle seems like it's always the tease year after year after year. You know, we'll see. We'll see how Cam Smith, you know, the rookie, does in right field. We'll see how Altuve does in left field. Kind of a thin staff. You know, obviously they're going to, you know, miss Alex Bregman. But they still have a chance to win the division, and no doubt about it. But, you know, if I had to pick a team right now, I would pick the Texas Rangers.
Sticking with the American League, in the AL East, you know, the Yankees have been decimated by a bunch of injuries. I know a lot of folks like the Baltimore Orioles, but, man, I've been seeing a ton of talk about this Boston Red Sox team might be the ones to claim the East this season.
Yeah, I know people jump on the Red Sox bandwagon once they got Bregman. a lot of nice young players. But some of these young players, you know, may end up taking a step back, particularly a pitching staff. So we'll see. I still think the Yankees pull this thing out. Hey, they didn't have Garrett Cole for the first half of last year. Now they got, you know, Max Fried for an entire season. They got Devin Williams, who's, you know, been a lights-out closer in the National League for Milwaukee. Paul Goldschmidt can bounce back. So I think Cody Bellinger is going to have a big year for them in New York. So I still think the Yankees are the team to beat. But it's going to be close. I mean, even Baltimore is still going to be good. You can make a case really for all five teams. But I still like the Yankees.
Bob, your thoughts on every single year, it feels like there's one team that kind of comes out of nowhere. And one of the underrated storylines from the offseason, and specifically one of the underrated hires, Terry Francona to the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds have some good young talent on that roster, highlighted by, obviously, shortstop Ellie De La Cruz, but they also have good pitching led by Hunter Green, kind of leading that rotation. He's going to be their opening day starter. They've got some talent there, and now they have a manager with, you know, postseason experience, postseason success, you know, something that could potentially get them back to that spot. I think the Reds are going to be kind of one of those sneaky teams to potentially keep an eye on. What's your thoughts on Cincinnati this year?
Yeah, no, I'm 1,000% with you. I'm picking them to win the division. You know, I know the Cubs are going to be the heavy favorite, but I think Francona makes that big a difference. I think this team has underachieved the last 2 years. I actually picked them to win the division last year. So they got a, you know, that the offense, you know, can use a spark there. But hey, Matt McClain is back at second base. He's going to be, you didn't have him all last year. Ellie De La Cruz is capable of doing anything. I mean, he could win the MVP in the year. So, no, I think they could be a real force.
Insider Call is brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. We're big LSU fans here, obviously in Louisiana. Hold on, amazing performance, seeing what Paul Skeens was able to do for the Pirates a year ago. Could we possibly see over for the Nationals a Dylan Cruz rise up and claim NL Rookie of the Year this year for Washington?
Certainly could. You know, got the talent. People are expecting big things out of him. It's hard to get a, you know, bigger thing than Paul Skeens did last year. I mean, Skeens certainly had the chance to win the Cy Young Award. I mean, you think about Skeens, it's amazing. 4 years ago, this guy was a catcher at the Air Force Academy, you know, and now he's one of the premier pitchers in all of baseball. But no, Cruz certainly has that talent for sure.
And then one of the most stacked divisions, it feels like every single season, and once again, it is just as stacked. The NL East, the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets, all three of these teams are projected to be playoff squads. But who do you think takes that division in 2025?
Yeah, I was just talking to Alex Antopoulos, the Atlanta's GM, got about 2 hours ago. And I think I'm going to pick the Phillies. They have the most talent. I like them a lot. You know, the clock is running out. These guys are getting older. They got to win here sooner or later. And then I think Atlanta, I'll still like Atlanta to make the playoffs. You know, just for once, they like to have a healthy year or a healthy, you know, going to postseason for sure. So I like Atlanta a lot. We'll see about the Mets. I don't like that rotation at all. Very good bullpen. You know, people talk about Juan Soto. But the last year, when the only full season that Soto was the Padres, they didn't even make the playoffs. They made the playoffs without him. So we'll see about the Mets. But I like filling Atlanta to make it for sure.
Bob, Steve and I mean, Steve's a Yankees fan. I'm an Astros fan. Opening day of the MLB season is like Christmas Day for us. We can't wait to see, you know, all the teams in action tomorrow. What kind of games are you most looking forward to? Obviously, Steve's going to be keeping an eye on the Brewers and Yankees. I'm going to have my eyes glued to the Mets and the Astros. But what other kind of matchups are you really excited for tomorrow?
Well, yeah, I flew into Los Angeles today, so I'm excited for the Dodgers-Tigers. That should be a good one. Yeah, you got Blake Snell against Terry Skubal. So a two-time Cy Young Award winner against the reigning AL Cy Young winner. Obviously going to, you know, drop the banner in L.A. and ring ceremony the next day. So I came here. I just think that's the most marquee matchup. And, you know, hey, everybody wants to knock off the Dodgers. So it's going to be fun to see just fun to see the atmosphere tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. The Dodgers starting the season 2-0 already with games played in Japan. Thank you so much for the time, Bob. Enjoy your time out in L.A. and the games tomorrow.
All right, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider Call is presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Yeah, you know what I mentioned there at the end, those early games that the Dodgers played, I completely tuned out and missed everything that was going on in Japan.
Yeah, they won the first two matchups against the Cubs, Steve. It's the, you know, this is a good question. Should the MLB open the season in Japan, or should they just do kind of exhibition games out there? I understand the excitement out there in Japan for specifically the Dodgers and Yamamoto and Otani and now Sasaki. Like, I get it. But should real MLB games be getting played out there right now? Like, maybe they should just do it. In my opinion, I think that they should do maybe some spring training games out there. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it doesn't mean necessarily as much, but at the same time, you see some, like, opening day should be opening day. And maybe that's like a boomer take. I don't know.
No, I hear you. I'm with you right there. I'm like an old man cranky about that.
Every single team starts the season on one day. Instead, you already have two teams that have played two games. And that's obviously the Dodgers and the Cubs. I don't know. It's kind of weird to me. I think it would be better served for, you know, maybe a spring training game, something like that. That's just my opinion. But Steve as well, Bob brought up a good point. Skubal versus Snell, the Tigers and the Dodgers tomorrow, should be a lot of fun. That's going to be on ESPN. Looking forward to that. But some of these other matchups, like the Braves and the Padres, should be a good time. Like, there's some cool matchups opening day, the Giants and the Red Sox and the Rangers. So sorry, I'm rooting for the Red Sox there, Steve, but you know, the Brewers and the Yankees, you'll be tuned into. I'll be tuned into the Mets and the Astros. But across the board, there's some good matchups here for opening day.
Yeah, and also with the main man, Paul Skeens, on the mound tomorrow. The Pirates are definitely must-watch TV. Going to be anxious to see what he can do against the Miami Marlins.
He should mow down.
Exactly.
It's the Miami Marlins. Like, I'm expecting Paul Skeens to just kind of cruise. Hopefully. That's the fingers crossed there.
Just with baseball right now, you look at, you know, guys across the league, and Skeens is just definitely one of those dudes, when he's pitching, you want to tune in to see what he's got.
Must-watch TV, 100%, Steve. He dominates MLB hitters. So
just nastiness.
And it's against the Marlins, who aren't very good, so hopefully he has a great start.
More spring training for Paul. We're going to take a break, be back with more sports talk, get into some LSU baseball again, hear what Jay Johnson had to say as the Tigers get ready for their three-game series against Mississippi State. You can hear the action for Game 1 tomorrow. We'll have for you 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch, right here on your spot for everything LSU. WWL, be back after the break. Back here on Sports Talk, WWL, your home for LSU baseball. It's another big SEC three-game series starting tomorrow when the Tigers take on Mississippi State at Alec Box Stadium in Baton Rouge. Pre-game 6:30, first pitch at 7 right here on WWLAMFM.com and the free Odyssey app. Tigers looking 23-3 on the season right now, 4-2 in SEC play. The Bulldogs 16-9 overall, 1-5 in conference action. Like Charlie mentioned earlier, their stud ace Pico Cone will not be pitching in the opener on Friday. Instead, he'll be in game two, and Thursday, I should say. He'll be game two on Friday. Kid is 4-0, 2.52 ERA. 35 2/3 innings pitched and 53 strikeouts.
He's pretty good, but he's going to be pitching that Friday game. So I guess they're keeping him on schedule too. They're kind of quote-unquote pitching him off so that he doesn't have to go against Kate Anderson, who's been one of the best starters in the SEC this season. But they see a perceived advantage there if they save their ace for that game two matchup.
LSU coming into this game, this series, I should say, with a batting average of .338 as a team. That's number one in the SEC. They're also number one in the league in hits, number one in doubles, number two in on-base percentage, and number three in runs scored. What would you expect from an offensive stud like Jay Johnson looking at this Mississippi State Bulldogs team? We want to hear what Coach Johnson had to say earlier today as his Tigers get ready to host the Bulldogs.
From Mississippi State?
Very talented. You know, I think the main pitcher was the pitcher of the week in the league. It does a great job of getting swings and misses and getting people out. I think he was SEC pitcher of the week last week. Very talented lineup at the top, particularly, you know, Ace Reese, very dangerous hitter. Hunter Hines, I've always thought he was one of the better guys in the league. over the last few years. Good bullpen, like really good arms out of the bullpen. Think they're a super regional Omaha caliber team and should be another great weekend.
Just your first Thursday, Friday, Saturday series of the year. Do you guys have to kind of work a day ahead with different things or with guys?
I would say it's a little busier, but there's some benefit on the back end. You know, like you get the Sunday off, which this time of year I think is really valuable. You know, and then just kind of how it lined up, which we don't have a ton of control over. You know, we end up with a full week next week, even though we're Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So try to look at it as a positive. You know, I mentioned it last night, like the opportunity to be on national TV. You know, it's like, why would you watch a Sweet 16 basketball game when you can watch LSU play baseball?
Going back to the Sunday game, just what did you like about Kaysen being able to stretch out into that, you know, 3.2 innings of work? Just what did you learn about, you know, how far he can extend in the game when needed?
Well, he's going to be a starter here, you know, obviously. The pitch mix allows that. The talent allows that. I think this is such a big jump from high school baseball to this, and the intensity of the pitches that he has thrown key times. I'll go back to Omaha, DBU, Kansas State, and then we were able to get him a little bit of a break, but then I think he closed one of the North Dakota State games, that kind of crazy game that we had against them. And then we were able to skip him over a weekend, which was really good. And then I thought he was obviously sharp against Missouri. But with kind of how that's all worked, like you can't go from like zero, you know, let's say 30 to 80. I thought he was just efficient, and his pitch mix allows for him to extend. We have to do that correctly. And so that's like, can't get a better guy than Kaysen Evans, so you got to take care of him too.
When you look around the SEC right now, anything surprising or standing out?
I don't know. You know, I just, whether a team's 6-0, 0-6, 4-2, 2-4, like these guys, like if you just judge it on an SEC record, you're making a massive mistake. It's an Omaha caliber team, so I don't put a lot of stock or what I think. And there's a lot I don't know. Like there's five teams we don't play, so I couldn't tell you like three players on a few teams' roster because we don't play them, you know. So I haven't really dug in it enough to probably to educate. I think the one thing I will say, it caught my attention. I don't remember what night it was. It was either Friday or Saturday because it was one of the night games. I just glanced up and they had all the scores up. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of runs. It's a lot of runs. Like that definitely jumped out to me in every single. There wasn't one game that was like a, like let's say we lost 6-2 Sunday. That's a normal baseball game. There wasn't one score up there that looked like a normal baseball game.
With some of these bullpen arms that are maybe going through some growing pains or just learning lessons, I guess, over the first couple weeks of SEC play, how much is it devoted to the fact that they haven't pitched in these games before? They're, you know, they're kind of taking their lumps now so they can be better in the season type of deal.
Yeah, I think playing time, I've said this before, the best coach any player ever has is playing time and experience. And you know, it gets lost sometimes because of with talented players, but they haven't been there, like in a lot of ways. But I think if you ask them if they believe they're going to succeed, they believe they're going to succeed, and I believe that they're going to succeed. So I think because of their talent and all of the things, like we all expect them to do well, and you know, they're going to do well, and in a lot of cases are doing well.
Thoughts on opening day, given that Paul Skeens is going to be the opening day starter, Dylan Crew is going to be opening day starter, obviously just came out of your program, that being kind of a calling card for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's awesome, and I think there's a lot of players on this team that will play in the major leagues, 1,000%. Talk to Steven, he's going to play in a major league someday. It's awesome. You know, I think I want to be known for that. I do. Like, I want to be known for developing big leaguers. You know, let's call it John Calipari, Kentucky basketball, Nick Saban, Alabama football. Like, there's championships. But there's also, like, they helped a lot of players get to where they want to go. And I want to do both. And that's super important to me. And I do take a lot of pride in that. And it's not like it's been going on forever here, you know, with Coach Burtman, Coach Maneri. But, you know, I think those guys are there, and there's several more along the way. You know, I expect Trey to make it this year. I expect Grant Taylor to make it this year. You know, and there's guys that aren't on anybody's radar, you know, that came from here that were drafted in the 13th round or 14th round that will find their way there, largely because of how they improved, what they learned while they were here, and they're prepared to go be successful in that. And I take a lot of pride in that. And I want players to draft players from here, not just because of who they are, and usually that's enough, but man, they're that, and they played there. Like, I think that's awesome if that's how we're known through Major League Baseball.
That was head coach Jay Johnson of the LSU baseball team, and talking about MLBers, where we were talking earlier with Bob Nightingale. I just got an, you know, ESPN update flashes on my screen about the Yankees for tomorrow. And yeah, Giancarlo Stanton, another former LSU Tiger, and DJ LeMahieu starting on the injured list. But yeah, the MLB riddled with Tigers going into opening day.
Yeah, so Bill Frankes, shout out to him, also sent this out to us. Eight former LSU players appear on 2025 MLB opening day rosters. We obviously have Paul Skeens, ace of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Dylan Cruz, the number two overall pick last year, he made it on the opening day roster of the Washington Nationals. You mentioned LeMahieu for the Yankees. Alex Bregman, who is now on the Boston Red Sox. Gross. Pitcher Aaron Nola, who's on the Philadelphia Phillies. Kevin Gausman, another pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Still around, Gausman.
Yeah, he's been really, really good in his career. I think he was expected to have a huge year last year. He didn't quite reach the potential, but maybe it's a nice bounce-back campaign in 2025. Josh Smith, infielder, outfielder extraordinaire for the Texas Rangers, kind of a utility player, plays all over the field. And outfielder Jake Fraley for the Cincinnati Reds. So eight former LSU players appearing on Major League Baseball active rosters for the 2025 season opener.
I guess Trey Morgan is still in the minor leagues. I've been waiting for him to get a call up.
He's in the Rays minor league system, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, he was part of, like, I think the Rising Stars Challenge. Is that the NBA or does the MLB do that too? They do something similar.
I definitely know NBA has Rising Stars Challenge.
But they have something like that for MLB All-Star Weekend as well, where they kind of debut the best minor league prospects. I'll have to look up the exact name of it. But he was involved in that last year. I mean, he's obviously doing well in the minors, and he'll get his opportunity soon enough.
I just, not only, you know, offensively, but his defense at first base was magnificent, and interested to see what he can do in the major leagues. Unfortunately, at the Tampa Bay Rays organization, though, boo.
Yeah, and Alex Bregman going to the Red Sox, it just doesn't look right. I don't know.
Like, no, I feel you, and it's when you go so long with a team that you've been such an intricate part of too, and for, I don't know, it just seemed that there was that agent team standoff with him and these Astros that they weren't willing to bend and bring him back.
Here's what it's called. It's the All-Stars Futures Game.
Okay.
So it's the Rising Stars is in the NBA, but the MLB has its own version of it where they kind of debut the young talent. But yeah, no, Alex Bregman won two World Series with my Astros, so I'll always appreciate him. But man, and he got a bag from the Red Sox, so I can't really be mad at him for leaving, but it just doesn't really feel right seeing Boston Red Sox next to his name. It's kind of gross.
What feels right is heading to break. We'll be right back for more sports talk, so stay tuned on WWL. Back on sports talk as we close things out in the break, Charlie told me it's kind of weird we haven't been talking about the Pelicans. Had a game on Monday, and they don't play again until Friday. We did get a little news, though, from the team letting us know Trey Murphy underwent successful surgery today to repair that torn labrum in his right shoulder. He will miss the remainder of this season as expected, but should be making a full recovery, and further details will be appropriately provided. So get well, Trey Murphy, and we hope to see you back hitting those threes next season.
Yeah, no, it's just another setback in an injury-riddled disaster 2024-2025 campaign. Trey was one of the bright spots, and of course he is injured. So we're hoping for the best, speedy recovery. Best of luck to him. We can't wait to see him back out there because he's one of the true bright spots on this Pelicans team. So
we'll be back tomorrow with more sports talk, breaking down things as we get ready for LSU baseball, plus Sweet 16 action, which you can hear on our sister station, the Bet 92.9 FM and 1350 AM. Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Have a great evening. Love you, New Orleans. Have a good night.